Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 382. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 great co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how are you enjoying that Florida sunshine, my friend?
Well, it's good. Just wear you out after a while. So has been a lot of long days, but a lot of baseball. So I cannot complain.
I mean, that must have been fun the other night at the Sox breakout game when the couple of fans, you know, yelling overrated at Anthony and then him hitting an absolute tank.
Yeah. That's still been the most electric game so far is that one. I mean, you had Anthony obviously hit that big home run and Meyer and Campbell homered, and it's really good pitching all around. The Rays had a lot of good guys. So I think that's still definitely the best spring breakout of the five that I went to.
Now, did you see the estimated distance on the Anthony bomb was like only like 380 or something like that? I said that there is absolutely no way. So you being there, what do you think it was? It had to have been more than 380.
It was 440.
Yeah, I was like, there's no effing way. Yeah. So it's 380. Yeah, I think it said like 384 or whatever it said. There's zero chance. I think ended up like in the Gulf of whatever it's called these days. But a Red Sox fan, Anthony Campbell and Meyer homering in the same game, that's really exciting.
Yeah, the TrackMan had it 110, 440, so where they got 385 from.
I have no idea. I saw that. I was like, there's 0% chance that that is accurate. Yeah, that thing was still going opposite left ballpark, so.
Yeah.
Man, that's exciting. Can't wait for see that in Fenway Park in the very near future for all three of them. But we're going to do some bold predictions today. We did these last year. Did very well. We're combining them, just doing one episode this year. So we got 12 total bold predictions, 6 on the prospect side, 6 more on the Dynasty MLB side, 3 from each of us for each category. But before we get into those, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at Chris Clegg MILB. I'm at Eric Cross MLB. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the pod, please rate and review. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, TheDynastyGoat.com and ToolshedFantasy.com, for more work from each of us. And make sure you check out all the great content available with RotoBaller's MLB Premium Pass. You know, draft season is getting near the end, but still a lot of great content to help you win this season. RotoBaller's VIB draft kit comes with exclusive rankings and ATC projections from Nick Mariano and Ariel Cohen. It also includes plenty of content from Chris and I. Sync your leagues with TeamSync to use our live draft assistant, and get customized expert advice for your league-specific settings. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use that discount code TOOLSHED for 10% off at checkout. All right, let's start off on the prospect side here. So 6 of these. What's your first prospect bold prediction, Chris?
All right, I'm going to go with a player that I've seen a lot this week, and that's Edward Florentino of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm going to say that he will ascend his way to being a top 50 prospect. And that may be a little egregious, but why not? I mean, this is bold predictions. We're talking about somebody that just turned 18 years old. And last year in the DSL as a 17-year-old, he had a really solid season, putting up an 890 OPS with 5 homers and 8 steals. And he's somebody I was definitely looking forward to seeing. And I've now seen him 4 days, which is crazy, but a lot of Pirates this week, and Florentino has been highly impressive. He's 6'4", he's built extremely well, he runs well, very good discipline for his age. Like, he's faced some really solid pitching this week when I've seen him. He's played in some of the higher level games. They put him against good competition. Today's backfield game, they had him in the AAA game, so like the highest level game at the backfields, and he was holding his own. I mean, he looked the part. I think the approach is really sound. He makes a lot of contact. I think last year, I had to pull up the exact numbers, but I'm fairly certain he ran a ninth percentile EV of like 102.5 at 17, which is pretty impressive. And there's definitely juice there. Like when I looked at him, when you swatch him, it's like you can see the power for sure. Yeah, I mean, his 90th percentile EV last year was just shy of MLB average at 103.5. He had an 86% end zone contact rate, and which, again, in the DSL you take with a grain of salt, but a sub-20% chase rate too. And like I said, just everything, all the boxes he's checked this week. Florentino looks really, really, really good. And he's one that, I mean, maybe he goes to the complex, but he could skip and start in Bradenton. I wouldn't be shocked in single A. And I think he's just a special prospect. Like, he could really vault up boards and looks like a major dude this week on the backfields.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to go with similar kind of prediction here with a prospect jumping up rankings. I'll go Eduardo Beltre with the Minnesota Twins. I'll say he's a top 10 prospect by the end of the season. Had a really good DSL showing in 43 games. 11 home runs, 10 steals, 326, 453, 618. Slash line was one of the best players in the DSL this past season. You know, really strong athletic frame. He doesn't have like that huge projectable frame. He doesn't have like the 6'4 with projection frame. But he's about 6'6", 6'1 now. I think he might even be a little bit taller than that. It's hard to say, but he's taller than the 5'11 listed height. I'll tell you that. But really strong athletic frame, plenty of speed, moves well. This is a guy that I don't believe is going to lose, you know, much speed as he continues to grow and fill out the frame. So he could be looking at an above average to plus runner, plus power as well. You know, obviously with all these young guys, the hit tool is the X factor here. It's the one that's the hardest to kind of get a feel on, at least for me, because, you know, oftentimes all these guys, you don't have a lot of film on them, a lot of game film, especially guys in the DSL. But, you know, he did walk at a 15.5% clip. K rate, 23.8%. You know, a little bit higher than you'd like to see for, you know, a top DSL hitter last year. So there's still some concerns there as to where the hit tool winds up, where the average and OBP ultimately land. But, you know, this could be a really special offensive talent, even if he's a guy that's just like a 50 grade hitter. We don't even need him to be, you know, a standout plus hit tool guy. If he's just a 50 grade hitter, you know, I think he's going to be a really fun, you know, prospect for fantasy purposes. And I think he's, you know, vault up rankings in a major way this year. So Eduardo Beltre, top 10 prospect by the end of the season, is my first one. Back over to you, Chris.
All righty. So Beltre, seen him a couple times this week too. Most impressive thing about Beltre is he's really good in center field. He moves well, good reads, good jumps, and looks pretty good at the plate too. So
What would you think his height is right now if you had to guess?
5'10".
Oh, you think he's smaller than 5'11"? Like, he looked, maybe it was just the angle I saw in the video, but he looked like maybe an inch taller than that.
Yeah, I was just pulling up the. I mean, he's maybe 5'11". I don't know. He's not big. He's definitely under 6 foot. Trying to get kind of a, like, I pulled back up my open face video. Like, I mean, he's probably 5'11", 5'10", maybe. I don't think he's over 6 foot.
Okay.
So you just never know with
right
their readings. But, yeah, I don't think he's that tall. Good bat, good glove. So, yeah, I like Beltre. Go to a drafty last year. I'm very hopeful I'll see this guy. Tomorrow's my last day. See some Tigers and Phillies backfield, and I'm hoping I see Owen Hall on the mound. Definitely looking forward to this guy. Hall was drafted by the Tigers last year. He's absolutely electric. He already was really, really good, and I think that he's only gotten better this offseason. He looks like somebody that's like built in the Jackson Jobe starter mold, like coming out of the draft. I mean, you look, and there was some videos, some pitch data that came out of a bullpen. It's a bullpen, so we take it a lot with a grain of salt, but he spins the fastball exceptionally well. It's up to near triple digits, around 99, with legit IVB and, you know, good horizontal movement as well. It's very impressive. The changeup has heavy fade to it, sitting near 90. like 15 inches of arm side, and the slider's sharp too in the mid 80s. So, yeah, I think that the bold prediction will be that Owen Hall is a top 10 pitching prospect by season's end. Maybe it, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, but like just watching this guy and looking at the pitch data, it's hard not to be all in on him. So I think he'd be a major mover up list really quick. And I'd love to see him tomorrow, but if not, like, you know, early year, like, you get some looks and data backs, so, like, he's just going to be pushed up my board pretty aggressively.
Yeah, he's definitely a fun one in that Detroit system for sure. You know, could definitely vault up and be one of their top pitching prospects this time next year. And like you said, maybe one of the best ones in all baseball. Very electric arm. Same with this guy, Yarlín Zuzana. I must say, he's going to be a top three pitching prospect end of the season. I think there's a chance, like, there's a world where, like, the top two guys this time next year for pitching prospects are both on this national system with Sakura and Zuzana here. We have Sakura, I like a bit more, but, I mean, yeah, Sakura I like a little bit more than Zuzana, but I like Zuzana a lot as well. He's a guy I bumped up a good bit after digging into him more this past season. You know, the one big issue with Zuzana is the strike throwing, obviously. You know, the walk rates were not great, you know, this past year, though. He did bring it down, you know, from previous years. Like, 2023, he was about 14%. 2024, he was down to 10.8% and was at 9% in high A. So that's definitely encouraging. He had 10 starts in high A, too, so it wasn't like it was a super small, like, 2-3 start sample size or anything like that. So not in high A, was a 9% walk rate and a 36.8% strikeout rate. I mean, this guy has an electric fastball, upper 90s with life, you know, can touch 100, you know, 101, 102 pretty frequently. I mean, there'll be, you know, probably half of his fastballs will be triple digits in any given start. He's got up as high as 102, 103, you know, throws a, you know, two-seamer as well. Slider is his best secondary, you know, really sharp upper 80s, even a little bit in the low 90s. And it has an okay feel for a changeup. That's definitely his third offering, you know, but can miss bats with it. It has a little bit of fade, you know, and then drop on it. So, you know, good set of pitches here. You know, can miss bats with ease, can get ground balls too. Like, he uses that sinker really well. I mean, he's always gotten ground balls at a good clip, and this kind of took it to the next level this past year. I mean, 2022, he was 50% on the nose for ground ball rate. 2023, 51%, which are already very good marks. Then he got up to nearly 60% in 2024, 59.9 to be exact, with a 17.5% swing and strike rate. Like, when you can miss bats like this, you can get ground balls like this, that is a great combination. And the fact that he's making strides in the walk rate, in the strike throwing, is really, really encouraging. And he's got the really strong, you know, big, looks like he could be, you know, a defensive end or an outside linebacker in the NFL. He's like 6'6", 240, something like that. So a lot to like here with Zuzana. Still only 20 years old, still very young as well. You know, he will be 21 here pretty soon, I think. I think his birthday is coming up in about a week or so. But yeah, 21 years old, probably double A, bit of triple A this year. I think you could really see him break out even further to take that next step and be, you know, one of the top two or three pitching prospects in the game by this time next year. So, Yarlín Zuzana, top three pitching prospect by end of season, is my second one. Let's go back over to Chris, who is your third prospect bold prediction.
All right, so this guy has debuted, so that's worth noting. Will Warren of the New York Yankees, and I'm saying that he's going to be a staple in their rotation all year and be a major breakout. How high do we go on him? I don't know, maybe a top 40 arm. I don't think it's crazy to say. His year of last year was so bad. I've liked Will Warren for a long time. I said on his pro debut back in 2022 when Hudson Valley was in Greenville on opening day, he went to the same school as my dad, so, and not many people come out of southeastern Louisiana. So I've kind of just been rooting for this guy for a while. And 2024 was really, really bad. Triple A numbers were bad. He had a near 6 ERA. His major league debut was really bad. And the ERA over 10 in 22 major league innings. But I legitimately believe that Will Warren has found something and is ready to fully break out. This spring, he's been electric. 15 two-thirds innings. He has a sub-3 ERA, 0.77 whip, near 30% K rate, and just a 5% walk rate. The arsenal on Warren is really, really good. You look across the board, and he's always had the stuff. Like, there's been never been denying that, starting with the sinker, or with the sweeper, excuse me. Sweeper is an electric pitch, and it's one that really stands to miss bats for him. And he's sequenced better this spring, which has been encouraging. I like to see that. You look at the whiff rates on the pitches, and he's throwing the curveball as well, missing bats with it. It's shown some good pitch shape. The changeup's played well. So missing bats with a lot of different pitches, which is encouraging to see. The fastballs have played better as well, too, which I think is notable. Mixing a four-seam and a sinker, you know, the average fastball velocity is 93 to 94, but it works. And Warren has those secondaries in the changeup, curve, and sweeper. I just really think that, well, one, he's going to be in the rotation because he doesn't have much of a choice. And two, I think he's just going to really pop off this year and finally showcase what he is known to be. And so he potentially ends up a mid-rotation type starter for them. And, you know, it's very, very good. I know it's the lame, easy comp is like the Michael King starter kit, but yeah, it's kind of what he is and what he brings to the table. So I think he could be that guy, and I'm really excited to see what Warren brings to the Yankees rotation this year.
Yeah, they're definitely going to need him, that's for sure. Gerrit Cole out for the whole year, Luis Gil out for a couple months or something like that. So definitely will need him, and you know, Clark Schmidt's had his injury issues. So yeah, I think Warren's going to be in that rotation a lot this year. I'm going to go to Texas for my last one here, and I'm going to say that this is kind of like a more fun one. I think this is going to be the path for this player anyway, long-term, so, you know, why not now? I'm going to say Emiliano Teodo leads the Texas Rangers in saves this year. You know, for one, you know, there's a few reasons for this prediction. First off, Teodo's freaking electric. I don't think anybody that has watched him pitch, you know, Chris and I saw him last year, 2023, out in the Arizona Fall League, and you know, we've called it the Teodo experience for a number of reasons, you know, the good and the bad that come with that. This guy is absolutely electric. The stuff, it's wiffle ball stuff, it's triple digit fastball, slider, changeup. You know, those things. You watch an overlay of the slider and the changeup, how much separation, horizontal movement separation he has on those two pitches. I mean, this guy can miss a ton of bats, but the command and control, same below average is putting it nicely. It's more, I mean, I wouldn't even be sure if I put like a 40 grade on it. It's more like 30 grade command and control right now. So I just don't see him sticking as a starter long term. You know, last year he had a sub-2 ERA in 86 and a third innings in AA. With a 30.7% strikeout rate, but a 14% walk rate. I mean, hitters can't really square him up. You know, with a 176 batting average against, but that strike throwing is just not there. You know, gets ground balls at a decent clip as well, about 46%. But you know, don't believe that's going to be a starter's kind of profile long term. So you know, probably starts in AAA. So you could see him in Texas very quickly in that Texas bullpen. I mean, Chris Martin, Robert Garcia, you know, neither one are like, you know, really, you know, trustworthy options in the back end of that bullpen. So you could easily see, you know, like June or something like that. Both of them are scuffling or hurt. You know, Martin's had his issues. Martin's also pushing 39. Robert Garcia doesn't have like a super long track record. So you could see both of them out of the role for various reasons, and who would be the next one in? You know, maybe it could be Teodo at that point if he's dominating in AAA. So yeah, I'll say Teodo somehow gets into that closer role midseason, maybe saves like 15, 16 games, something like that, and maybe we're drafting him as a RP2 next year. Definitely has that upside. So that concludes the prospects. So Edward Florentino, top 50 prospect by season's end. Eduardo Beltre, top 10 prospect by season's end. Owen Hall, top 10 pitching prospect by season's end. Yoelín Susana, top three pitching prospect by end of season. Will Warren breaks out, spends the entire year in the Yankees rotation, and Emiliano Teodo leads the Texas Rangers in saves. Those are our six prospect bowl predictions. Let's go over to the MLB side, and Chris is going back to New York with the other New York team for his first one here.
Yeah, Clay Holmes has looked exceptional.
Yes.
This spring. We've talked a lot about him on the show. I think that he's ready to go full breakout. I think that he's going to be a top 20 arm this year. I mean, what he showcased this spring has been very, very good. It's a 1.29 ERA across 14 innings, which I know doesn't matter all that much, but what does matter is that Holmes is missing bats, and he's doing it with a deepened arsenal of pitches. You look at the arsenal, and he's added that kick changeup, which, you know, several people have done this offseason. He's throwing a cutter, throwing a sinker, four-seam slider, and sweepers. So we're looking at six pitches that Holmes has thrown this year. Cutters being the least of them, but you look at the velo bands on it. Both the four-seam and the sinker have set 94 to 95, topped at 98. The changeup, been a very strong pitch in the upper 80s, showing a pretty good movement profile there. The sinker, it's kind of what he leans on to get outs, and like if you have to go to that to get ground ball outs, then it's perfect. The sweeper averaging over 17 inches of sweep with depth, too, is very nice. It's missing bats at an exceptionally high clip, and his more generic slider has also been very good. So, yeah, I think Holmes makes all the sense in the world to invest in. The cost is pretty cheap, and yeah, I think that you just gotta take the chance, and you know, later rounds, this guy looks like he could really, really pop off. So I'm very excited to see what Clay Holmes does this year, and think that I think the biggest question is probably innings. He's thrown 63 innings basically the last 3 years. So what do we expect from him? Does he get 130? Does he get 150? I think they're going to kind of play it by ear, but we'll see. But I think those innings are going to be very valuable regardless of how many he throws.
Yeah, we had the year of the sweeper. Now it's going to be the year of the kick change this year. But yeah, Clay Holmes has looked really, really damn good this spring. And like kind of what I was saying with the Yankees rotation, that Mets rotation is going to need him as well. They've already experienced a few injuries as well. So Holmes has gone from like their SP5 to like their SP2 or 3 now behind Kodai Senga. So yeah. I like Clay Holmes a lot, too, so I like that pick a lot. I am going to go back to the other New York team, back to the Yankees here, and I'll go Jazz Chisholm goes 30-50 this year. I mean, you saw what we've seen what he's capable of. I mean, unfortunately, he only has over 500 plate appearances twice. Once was barely back in 2021. He had 507. Then last year, I mean, it's always more encouraging when one of the years is the most recent year. Now, last year was a career high, 621 plate appearances. Went 24-40 last year, and 11 home runs, 18 steals in 46 games with the Yankees last year after that trade from Miami. You know, so excuse me. So that's like a 30. Quick math here, like a 36, 37 homer, like 48. 50 steal pace, I think over 50 steal pace. Yeah, she would be like a 60 steal pace, actually. So damn near like 40-60 pace with the Yankees. And I know we can't just say, oh, that's what he did. Now he extrapolated out. But, you know, we know the power speed is there with Jazz. You know, he's a lefty hitter. You can really, you know, lean into that short porch over there in right field at Yankee Stadium. And they let him run. I mean, you know, team context comes into it, and yeah, the Yankees, I think, were like 23rd, I just had it up here, 24th in steals last year. They only had 88 as a team, but I don't think that was totally like a philosophy thing. They just didn't really have a lot of guys that could run. I mean, it was like Volpe and not many others that were like real true stolen base threats. So, you know, now they have one, and it showed that they let him, run wild last year. After the trade, and it showed he had 18 steals in 46 games, and he was only caught a total of 10 times last year, only twice with the Yankees, so 18 out of 20, 90% with the Yanks. So, you know, the average is probably going to be that 250 range. He's really settled in there, 254, 250, 256, the last 3 years. So I wouldn't expect really a jump from there. You know, contact skills don't suggest a jump in the average department, but if you're getting 250, 260 range, you can get 30-plus home runs, you can get 60-plus steals, something like that. I mean, he could just be like a, you know, an 85%, 90% of what Elly De La Cruz is. And, yeah, there's a lot of risk there given the, you know, given the strikeout rate, given the contact rate, and, you know, mostly the durability. You know, the upside is very, very high as well. I'm not sure if I like the ADP. It's like 20, pick 22 right now. That's really high. But now we're not talking about ADP here. We're talking about these players. And I think Jazz is going to have a massive year. So I'll say 30-plus, 50-plus for Jazz Chisholm here in 2025. Chris, who is your second bold prediction on the MLB side?
That's bold. I like 30-50. That's not something that happens. That's it's a good bold prediction. I like Jazz a lot. Yeah, I like Jazz a lot, so I've got him quite a few spots. So I'll gladly take that. This one may not be as bold, but I'm going with a Bo Bichette bounce back here. Let's say he hits 25, he steals 15, and he hits 300. I mean, maybe it's not like super bold, but Bichette's been pretty bad. He's regressed the last few years. The last time he hit over 25 home runs was 2021. The last time he stole more than 13 bases was 2021 as well. You look at what Bo brings to the table, and I really just believe he's been hurt. I mean, he's even said it. I don't know, athletes say things, but he said that this is the first spring that he's felt healthy in a long time. So we're seeing some really good things out of Bo. The exit velocities have been very, very good this spring. He's lifting the ball more. The ground ball rate is down significantly, and that's somewhere he's always kind of struggled with, a lot of ground balls. He's always chased a lot, but he's made it work, but the chase rate's down a little bit. He's always made really good contact. Last year, he ran a in-zone contact rate north of 90%, but it came with a 225 average and a 277 OBP. So this thing is a big bounce back year for Bo. It's a contract year for him, which obviously players play up in. They do extremely well in contract years. And I think he's got something to prove. You know, Bo looked like an elite talent at one point in his career. His rookie season was phenomenal. The shortened 2020 season was very good. And the 2021 season was exceptional as well. But I think Bo goes off this year. Maybe you don't consider that going off 25-15. Like, if you're listening, think that's not bold. Like, where he's going in drafts, like, that's a really good return on investment if he hits 300, especially with the running RBI totals that he could get. I know people think that lineup's not great, but lineup's still pretty solid. So, you know, I'll take Bo there. I'll take Bo in a lot of spots, honestly, and I'm really hoping for the best there, that he can bounce back in this contract year and you know, kind of carry himself into free agency. So, Bo, 25-15, 300.
Man, I like it. You know, it's funny, too, that, you know, Bo has become like a recent poster child for the what have you done for me lately movement. That's been a movement for a while now. It's, you know, every time I tweet something positive about Bo, or like, I think I put him when I was just posting, I think, my positional dynasty rankings as like tweets, I had him 12th, which I think is fair. It was, you know, he's right ahead of, you know, the Volpe, Tovar, Mason Wynn range. I had him 12th, and a lot of people scoffed at that. Like, oh, how do you have Bo so high? I'm like, because he was like a top five guy at this position not too long ago. It's like, yeah, is that version of Bo walking through that door again? Maybe not. Now, maybe he's not, you know, a top 25 overall player again, but you know, I would bank on him being closer to that Bo than the Bo we saw last year, without question. I don't think he's that bad. I mean, there's still a lot of good metrics in the profile. Yes, I'm definitely on board with a Bo Bichette bounce back here. I just want to see what they do in Toronto. I think it's a weird year. Do they end up trading Vlad because they don't think they can re-sign him? Do they trade Bo? You've heard rumors on Bo, so it's going to be a kind of a interesting year to see what goes on up there in Toronto. My next one here, I'm going to your Atlanta Braves, Chris. I am just, like, falling in love on the fantasy side with Spencer Schwellenbach. I freaking love this guy. I had him last year in a few leagues, which was phenomenal, and it was my toughest cut in my home keeper league, though I got him back in our draft last weekend, thankfully. I got him as my SP3 in that league. So, 24 years old, had a phenomenal rookie year last year. Finished with a 20.8% strikeout minus walk rate, only a 4.6% walk, 25.4% strikeout rate. He just does so many things well. I mean, he can get ground balls. He limits hard contact. He limits walks. You know, he can miss bats too. It's not just like one of those high floor kind of safe profiles. I mean, it is, but it's not just that. He can miss bats too. You know, curveball, splitter, both had a whiff rate above 40% this past year. He goes six pitches deep. He throws all six pitches to both righties and lefties. Everyone that knows me knows I freaking love that. You know, so he just checks off every box this year, like in general. And I think he's taking another step forward this year. He's pitching well so far in spring training. 16-1 strikeout to walk ratio. So he's already in midseason form right now. In 12 2/3 innings so far for the Braves. I think you can see him easily be their best starter this year, and a lot of that hinges on, you know, when we see Strider and what version of him we see when he does come back. But I think the safest bet, you know, is, you know Sale or Schwellenbach, and obviously Sale is far from safe in general, even though I love Chris Sale. But Schwellenbach, I think, could easily be the best pitcher this year. And overall, like, here's the bold prediction. I haven't even gotten to it yet. I think he's going to be a top 10 pitcher by the end of the season. Again, he checks up all the boxes, can miss bats, low walk rate, limits hard contact, gets ground ball outs. I mean, yeah, everything's there for Schwellenbach, and I think it's going to be a really, really big year for him and put him into that top 10 discussion. You know, I don't think he'll ever be up onto, you know, top 5 levels, but could he get in that back end top 10 or just be a back end ace for fantasy? Yeah, I think that's what we're looking at here with Schwellenbach. Checks off all the boxes I'm looking for in that type of pitcher. So yeah, I am all in and then some on Spencer Schwellenbach this year. It's just amazing too, Chris. And we mentioned it several times on this podcast, but, you know, go back a year. Where do you think he was in terms of like pitching prospect rankings just in the Braves system? Like what, fourth, fifth, something like that?
Probably, yeah. I think that's about where I had him. I mean, you've got several other guys that, I mean, like A.J. Smith-Shawver, Waldrop for sure were ahead of him.
Probably Owen Murphy. I mean, well.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
At least after the start of his season before he got hurt, he probably moved ahead of him at least.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious where I had him last year. I got to look now.
And like, that's not to say anybody that had him, I didn't have him top, you know, top three or four in this system either for pitching prospect. That wasn't necessarily wrong at the time, but it just shows like how prospects can change and how it's not linear. Growth is not linear with their prospect development. You can see guys like Schwellenbach, who were fourth or fifth behind all these guys, now he's way ahead of Smith-Shawver and Waldrop and all these guys.
Yeah. I had him behind Smith-Shawver, Waldrop, Owen Murphy, J.R. Richie, and Giancarlo Solara. So, yeah. Kind of down the board a little bit.
I probably had him same range, too. Yeah, I don't have my spreadsheet open, but yeah, I probably had him same range as well. Based on Schwellenbach, top 10 pitcher by end of season. Keep it right in the NL East with another pitcher for Chris's last one.
A lot of NL East today, which is I know, right? Yes, might be one of my most rostered players this year. That's Ryan Weathers, the Miami Marlins. You know, Weathers has been interesting. He's thrown just 7 innings, been a mixed bag. Really good ERA, 35% strikeout rate, 20% walk rate, which is wild, but I project that Weathers will post a 30% strikeout rate and have a 3.25 ERA. Maybe that's not egregious, but last year he had a 3.63 across 86 innings. Obviously, we're going to see a big innings jump this year, but he only struck out 21.8% of batters. But Weathers has a reworked arsenal. The fastball is playing exceptionally better at this point. Like, from the left side, when you're sitting 98 with 17 to 19 inches of vert from a 5'9" release height, like, it's going to play. He spins the ball exceptionally well. It gets horizontal. Like, that fastball all of a sudden is, like, borderline elite from a lefty. Think about, like, the best lefty fastballs in the game. Like, that's up there with it. You need changeup's been sharp, too. Having good fading action. It's missing bats. He's throwing a sweeper, which has looked really good as well. About 27 inches of separation between the sweeper and changeup horizontally. And he's also mixed in like a more traditional shaped slider. Weathers, I think, could really pop. I think that it wouldn't be crazy to say that he is the best arm in the Marlins rotation this year. And I know Sandy's back and Sandy's going to pitch innings, but I wouldn't be shocked if Weathers outperforms him. So that's my bold take, is that Weathers posted a sub 3.25 with a 30% K rate. And he's the best arm in that rotation above Sandy.
I like it. Yeah, I've gotten a couple of shares of Weathers too, because after seeing him and how he looks this spring, yeah, it's kind of hard not to at least take a shot on him this year. My last one, I struggled with which one I wanted to go with, but I might as well go to my Red Sox here, get out of the National League East, and go to the American League East. And I'll go with a guy, you know, I've talked about a few times, but you know, I think we're finally going to see the full-on, full-season breakout from Tristan Casas. So I'm going to say Casas goes 35-120 this year. I mean, Alex Cora recently kind of, you know, we all kind of thought this was going to be order anyway, but top five in that Red Sox lineup is going to be Jaron Duran, Rafael Devers, and Alex Bregman. I mean, Duran, Devers, Bregman, all three good OBP guys. So I think you're going to see batters on for Casas a good bit this year. And, you know, I've heard from a few people that, you know, he's, I mean, it's the old saying, the best shape of his life, but I've heard that from multiple people, not just like him saying it, just other people, you know, within, you know, that Red Sox kind of camp saying it. So I am, you know, and he looks it too. I mean, he looks like he's in great shape right now. He did get hit by that bug a little bit and missed a few days, but, you know, and the spring stats haven't been like eye popping, but, you know, you got to go back to where he ended 2023, and he was on a good start 2024 as well. I mean, he was one of the top five hitters in baseball the last 2 months of 2023. He was right up there with, you know, Acuna and Olsen, who were popping off, Mookie, Otani, and then it was like him. He was fifth in both WRC Plus and WOBA. And I'm not saying that's going to be what he does, but I think he absolutely gets up into that top tier, you know, of fantasy first baseman. I mean, he gets up and maybe even above a Pete Alonso, kind of into that, you know, Matt Olsen range, you know, if he does what I think he can do this year. Good lineup. You know, he's got probably solid protection behind him too. You know, Story, hopefully he can stay healthy. You know, the kids will be up, Anthony and Campbell very soon. You know, get Willy Abreu. It's a good lineup, you know, pretty much 1 through 9 this season. So decent protection behind him. Good run support, or a good, you know, guys getting on base in front of him, I should say. And obviously a good hitter's park, even though it doesn't play as favorably to left-handed power as right-handed power. But Casas has that power that he can transcend that and hit plenty of balls into the bullpen, around Pesky's pole. I think he's going to be an absolute beast this year. So 35-120 for Tristan Casas. So our six Dynasty/MLB bowl predictions. Clay Holmes, top 20 SP. Jazz Chisholm goes 30-50. Bo Bichette bounces back, goes 300-25-15. Spencer Schwellenbach, top 10 SP by end of season. Ryan Weathers, 325 ERA and a 30% strikeout rate. And Tristan Casas goes 35-120 for the Red Sox this season. All right, that's going to wrap us up. That was a lot of fun, as it always is. If y'all have any ones you want to add, make sure you, you know, comment on the post going out from Twitter with this episode. We'd love to hear what all of y'all's, you know, bowl predictions are for this season. And we'll be back with you again later this week. But until then, everyone take care.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.